Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, a conversation about all the good things in the bluegrass with your host, Mike Warner.
Welcome to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon in the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner. Partner with my son, Chris, in Warner Builders. Partner with my wife, Leah, in Warner Realty. And Chris has his own window company now. I'm real proud of that, Commonwealth Window. They are doing replacement windows and new windows as well, new construction. We'll talk about that during the show. But our guest today is a good friend of mine, Jacob Kirby. Welcome on the show, Jacob.
Good to be here.
Yeah, cool. We've known each other now, I was figuring, for 6 years. I think we met in 2000. Is that about right?
Yeah, 2018, I think, 2019, okay. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And become good friends. We were mutual acquaintances of Ron Edmonton at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lexington. Yep. He gave me your name and said I should call you, and so I did, and friendship begins, and partnerships and business partnerships begin, and it's been a lot of fun. So where are you from?
So I'm from London. Spent some time in college in Lexington, and that's how I got to know Ron at Emmanuel. And you know, Ron told me that every young person in business needed a mentor.
Yep.
And so he connected us together. And
yeah.
That's been
I didn't think of myself as a mentor, but, yeah. But I appreciate that.
I've learned a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some things you learn rather you didn't.
Well,
but that's okay.
You know, everything's a learning experience. Yeah.
But you were raised in London, Kentucky?
Raised in London, and I try not to tell too many people that these days. You know, things are kind of crazy down there right now. But
let's talk about it in the news a little bit. So your mayor is, I see where maybe he's doesn't live in the city proper, and they're...
Well, I mean, they're calling him Mayor Teflon. We're going to see if anything sticks.
Okay.
You know, they've already impeached him once, and... Well, one of the judges that reviewed the case, they sent it back and said that the impeachment wasn't going to be allowed. Now, the Supreme Court still has to rule on that. But, yeah, he got in some trouble for having some family members and other acquaintances donate to Governor Beshear's campaign with his credit card.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can not do that with your credit card under other people's names. That's called some kind of election fraud.
And yeah.
The Attorney General is really serious about that.
Yeah.
Not sure why it took 3 years to bring charges, but here we are. So, four felonies, and who knows what else is to come.
But. There you go. Well, anyway, I do love London, Kentucky. I've got dear friends down there. One of my close friends who's in college was James Mel Greer of Melco Construction Company, and I think he's probably retired now, but I knew a lot of the Greers, and they were good people, good family. Back in the day, they'd fly their helicopter up here to Lexington to a ball game and land out there by Commonwealth Stadium. It was a great place. But so did you play sports in high school?
So I played one sport. I got a varsity letter on the inaugural bass fishing team at South Laurel High School. So,
all right.
Yeah. And I think they were pretty much giving the letter to anybody who was on the team that year. So
that's awesome.
We kind of came late to the game, but now it's a big deal. They're actually hosting the high school fishing tournament for the U.S. is in Kentucky this year over Lake Cumberland. So it's become a big thing in the last decade.
Yeah, so. But I did not know that high schools had fishing teams.
They do, in fact, have fishing teams.
So. That's amazing. So then you came to UK?
Came to UK. So came to UK to study engineering and was going to join the Air Force, hopefully as an officer. And got to school and found out a couple things real quick. That one, calculus is not my thing. And so the engineering route was out. Professor told us if we couldn't handle the math, then go study business. So that's what I did.
Okay.
But then went to do my physical for the Air Force, found out I was colorblind. So didn't know, you know, you could go 18 years without knowing that, but I did. So can't be a pilot. So anyway, now I'm in construction and
interesting.
Life's been pretty good.
So were you trying to get in through the ROTC program at UK?
Yeah. So you know, they call the ROTC detachment here the Flying Wildcats.
Yeah.
Because if you want to fly a jet, you either go to the Air Force Academy or you go to UK.
Yeah.
They produce more rated officers than any other school. So
I've had the privilege of speaking to the cadets on, I don't know, four or five occasions, not a lot. There was a time when I was flying and the commander there would ask me to come in and, you know, in my flight suit and talk to him, pep him up. But that was a long time ago, so I'm not doing that anymore. But so how many years did you graduate from UK?
So I actually transferred to University of the Cumberlands.
Okay.
So started my business, I guess I was a freshman in college, and and just got so busy with that that whether by choice or, you know, it's actually the case, I didn't really have time for school. So transferred to Cumberland's and went online, you know, before COVID and everybody else did. So,
yeah.
Graduated in 2020 from Cumberland's with a degree in business administration.
So. Fantastic. We had a guy that interned for us in the engineering program at Cumberland, didn't we? For a while?
Yeah, well, we had a bunch of people coming out when we were in City Center, so it's kind of hard to remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either, but it was somebody.
Might have been Adam Hickey. We met him not long ago. He's a very bright young man.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Of all the people we hired to run an elevator, he was a bright young man.
And I had never, you know, I'm so naive about things. I mean, I did not know the University of the Cumberland was even there. And now that I know it's there and I pass it all the time, it's like, oh.
Well, that's the infamous walkthrough practice that the Cats had a couple years ago that apparently Tennessee spied on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So whenever we got a road game to Tennessee, they always have practice at Cumberland's Field. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But there's a nice spot on the grassy knoll across from the field where you can spy down and watch UK football train. So.
How about that? Yeah. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's impressive, Jake, because, you know, from afar and sometimes up close, I've seen your business grow, and it's fun. You know, there's a lot of guys who have you didn't get your start with us, but have come along and have really grown over the years, and I'm still young, but, like, you, Olympic Construction, you know, they're doing all the concrete for the new Henry Clay High School, and Victor approached my dad one time and said, "I'll pour a sidewalk. I just want a job." And you just see how, you know, where people go. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it is. So come to UK, go to Cumberland, graduate, start your college or start your career. Now, you're a newlywed, kind of basically, really still,
right?
Yeah,
so we've been married a year and 3 months now.
Fantastic.
So it's going pretty good.
Good.
Still likes me, so that's good.
That's always good.
Yep.
If you make it through that first year, you've got it licked then.
I hope so. We're going to find out, but... Yeah. For now, things are going well.
Good. So, where's she from?
So she's from Corbin, actually Williamsburg. So
yeah, okay.
Where
we
Cumberland's
pass all
at,
those, but, yeah, on 75 South. So we see all of them
right there. You blink and you miss it as you're going south at 80 miles an hour. But
yeah, I like it though. So are you all? Do you have children?
Not yet. So, hopefully here soon.
In the plan. That's cool. That's cool. Okay. So we'll switch gears just a little bit. Like I say, we met in 18, 19, you say, and I know in 20 or 19 and 20 is when, you know, I was kicking off the Silks Club and you came in. We talked about some, you know, bidding some different parts of that, the hardy siding, the roofing, the gutters. How did your business start, and what did it start as? What did Kirby Contracting start as?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I think I probably started like everybody does in construction, just doing small handyman type stuff. Mm-hmm. So built a lot of decks, did a lot of doors and windows for people, and kind of just grew from there. And when I decided that the Air Force wasn't going to be a good fit, I had a whole lot of free time in college, so I hit the UK student jobs website, and I got a job with Atlas Contracting knocking doors. And truth be told, they were probably hiring anybody that had a pulse and wasn't afraid to put themselves out there.
Yeah.
But I found out with them that selling roofs was actually not too hard. So,
yeah.
You know, put us out in some neighborhoods that had roofs that were hitting a point where they're going to have to be replaced. And it was almost like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
So, or so we thought, right?
Yeah, right.
And, worked for them for a while, and then went out on my own and did a lot of decks to begin with.
So Atlas does roofing too?
Yeah. So
I think of them as hollow metal door.
So there's two. So there's Atlas window and door, and they do a lot of commercial doors. I think there may be an Atlas window company as well. Okay. And then there's Atlas Contracting. Well, was back in the day. Now it's ALE. So Okay. I think their owner combined with a couple other companies.
So. Okay. Well, so that's cool. So you got your start and you're in roofing, right?
Correct.
And,
yep.
And I think that's where when I met you, I was like, okay, I need some pricing on roofing. But quickly I learned you were also a Hardy certified installer. And so we hired you to do Hardy on several jobs and done a great job. It's fabulous. And the gutters is kind of an easy one to go along with all
right.
that. Yeah. But so the roofing industry has changed so much in my time of building, because it was, there was no such thing as, well, I guess, you know, re-roofing just wasn't a thing. Roofing, people put it on, they patched it. You know, if it leaked, then they patched it. And today I see, you know, re-roofing is a huge, huge industry in and of itself. And the roofing has gotten better, so it lasts longer. But I guess, you know, we see hail, storm damage, different things like that. What's your niche in the roofing?
Yeah, so we primarily, we're kind of trying to shift a little bit and focus more on commercial roofing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's far easier if you're set up on one site and you can be there, you know, a couple weeks and not have a million things going on versus a different house every day.
Mm-hmm.
But historically, our niche has kind of been that insurance work area. So, and that in itself is changing quite a bit. So, you know, years ago, if you had a three-tab shingle on your house, and not going to say the name, but the Big Red Insurance Company, you know, if you filed a claim and you had one or two missing three tabs on each side of the roof, they were going to pay for the roof.
Yeah.
And now, it's almost like pulling teeth to get them to pay for that roof.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of regulatory things that have kind of changed in that space, and it's getting more difficult to get an insurance company to cover the full roof.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a lot of success with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they've gotten smarter and laws have changed, we've adapted and gotten smarter as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we try to stay one step ahead. But they're always right on us, changing something to try to keep us from getting them to pay for that roof. So I think probably in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a lot more roofs that are being patched rather than fully replaced. But
yeah, well, you just did a big roof for us out in Georgetown, a house and a barn re-roof from some storm damage, so that went well. And you worked hard on it. I mean, you were diligent. I mean, it was a tough one for you to get done, but you got it done and looks great.
So, you know, that's one thing we kind of pride ourselves in. We whether you like it or not, sometimes you end up in situations where you have to get something done because they're going to try to sell the property. And so, you know, we worked on that claim actually since we got a big windstorm in 2023. And I mean, we tried every way in the world to convince the adjuster to pay for the roof on the house.
Yeah.
And so right around the time that windstorm happened, the Department of Insurance came out with some guidance that basically said, okay, guys, if the shingle is still made, even if it doesn't match perfectly, as long as it's still available, we're going to consider that good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, they paid for about 25% of that roof.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, without going through a couple other legal processes, there wasn't much we could do on that.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, the customer had to come out of pocket a little bit on it, but
not much.
Not much. No, I mean,
you did good. You did well on that one.
They still ended up paying for about 30% of it, and the insurance covered 65%, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. It was a difference in the sale, and you know, we represented the seller on the property at Muir Lane in Midway, and 12-acre horse farm, beautiful piece of property, but it continued to fail the home inspections because of the roof. And finally, you know, you worked so hard with the seller to get the claim processed and through, and that's under contract, and they're in their due diligence period, but seems to be going pretty smooth. So
good.
Looks good. Looks real good. Yeah. So the siding, how'd you get into – that?
So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It just seems to go together. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do a lot of work that's hail damage related, mm-hmm. you're going to end up doing some siding because it's mm-hmm. never just the roof. The roof, if it gets damaged enough to have to be replaced, mm-hmm. usually if there's vinyl siding on the house and mm-hmm. gutters, those items are going to get damaged too. So, you know, what we try to be is a one-stop shop. So if somebody mm-hmm. calls me and says, hey, Jacob, you know, my house got hit with this hailstorm, my roof's totaled, I got to do some siding, we need somebody that can come in and we can take care of it.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing insurance work, if you're acting as a general contractor, you tend to make more money than you do if you're just doing the individual trade. So they'll put 20% on top of everything mm-hmm. and pay you as a GC. So that's why we really got into siding. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of made sense to go ahead and do it since we were asked to do it a lot.
So, yeah, that's awesome. Do you do windows?
We do windows as well. So
okay, we do windows as well, Chris.
We do windows.
I don't do windows.
Come on, Colin. We need windows. You need windows. Commonwealth Window Company, Chris Warner, if you are in need of window replacements or new windows for that matter, how can they get in touch with you?
Email me, chris@commonwealthwindow.com, and I'll get in touch with you.
Very good. That wraps up our first segment. Thank you, Jacob. We'll be back after the break with Brokers, Builders, and Berber of the Bluegrass. We'll be talking more about construction and brokerage as we go. Thanks.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Berber.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Berber of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner. Warner Realty, if you are buying or selling in Central Kentucky, please give us a call. It's a concierge-type service. It's just my wife and I. Our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. We give you our very best every single time. We've got Jacob Kirby here and Kirby Contracting. Jacob, we got I've never done well with insurance claims. The only one I've ever worked on was Greg Goodman at Mount Brilliant Farm. His house had burnt down. A party, some candles stayed lit. Nobody got hurt. Everybody got out, but the house burnt to the ground, and he wanted me to rebuild it. And it was beyond anything I could do. So he and I just entered into a contract. He deals with the insurance company. He just hired us on a normal cost plus or lump sum. I can't remember what it is. And off we go. So how do you handle these insurance companies?
So, you know, personally, my favorite claim is one like that you're describing. Thankfully, nobody gets hurt, right? But
yeah.
If the house burns to the ground, a lot of times it's just easiest for that insurance company to go ahead and pay the policy limit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anymore because of inflation and other factors, most of the time people are not insured for what it actually costs to rebuild mm-hmm. their home. So, mm-hmm. You know, they're going to get a check, and then they're going to hire somebody like you to come mm-hmm. in and rebuild that house mm-hmm. and not going to have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that in London the last year and have a lot we're still working on.
Yeah.
But got an EF4 tornado. And so the easiest claims, not for the people, but for us to work and help them along, were those claims that, you know, it was pretty easy case to total a house out. So
yeah.
We didn't have to do a whole lot of negotiation. You know, we could just help them get their money, get a place to stay temporarily, mm-hmm. and then, you know, builders that we work with could mm-hmm. help them get back in.
Yeah.
The difficult ones are the houses that are really borderline. They probably should be torn down,
mm-hmm.
But the insurance company doesn't want to do that because, you know, it may cost $400,000 to tear it down and start over,
mm-hmm.
but they think if they leave part of the house, they can only spend
$375.
Mm. You know, my philosophy is if it's only going to cost 10% more to tear it down and start over, you might as well do that because you're going to have a better work result at the end.
We had an interesting situation come up recently in our company. A gentleman called me up. They had bought a house in Richmond, Kentucky. They had hired a contractor. Things did not go well. He fired the contractor. We were recommended. I went down, and it was, you know, half done, which is always a bad place to step into something. So we ended up really just helping him. that's what we ended up doing. And part of that was because, and I'm not a charity worker. I've got to eat and got to feed my family. I like to support local things. We're doing some work for the Humane Society, Lexington Humane Society now, and I've always supported the church and Alzheimer's and other things. But at the end of the day, I still have a mortgage to pay and bills to pay. So, but this guy, he's like, you know, I don't want to touch this. I really don't want to touch this. It's looks dangerous to me, what's been done. And I said, but, you know, I think you'd be better off. You were highly recommended. We really want you to do this. And so he started telling me a story. And he said he was in London. Him and his wife lived in London. He said, we were in the living room and heard what we thought was a commercial airplane flying towards our house, like really loud jet engine flying right towards our house. And he said, I grabbed my wife and put her in the tub and I jumped on top of her. And he said, about 60 seconds later, I got up, opened the bathroom door, and I was looking outside. The entire house was ripped up and gone, roof, every room except the bathroom where they were, and she was in the tub. They were both injured but alive. And he said, you know, and we just really want to finish this house. So I said, all right, brother, I'm in. Now you're pulling on my heartstrings now. So we agreed just to help him. I brought the contractors. I brought the subcontractors in to do the work, and it worked out okay. It was pretty good. But that tornado, that's what made me think of, that tornado changed a lot of people's lives down there in London. I can't imagine.
Yeah, you know, and that's unfortunately the case that we've kind of run into with a lot of these. You know, people have been really eager to get back home for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've just seen contractors come in from all over. I mean, I probably have seen 48 of the 50 states represented with a contractor's logo on the side in London after this event hit. And it's like every week I get somebody that calls me and said, well, you know, we hired such and such company to do our roof or do our siding, or we hired a bunch of different people for all these different parts, and we didn't hire a general contractor because our insurance company said they wouldn't pay for it. And they end up with a subpar result because it was rushed. And because the money wasn't there up front to pay for what they needed to do. And so, you know, we never want to be in a situation where we can't afford to finish the job because it ultimately costs more than what the insurance company said it would. We try to figure it out on the front end and say, okay, well, you know, we don't see all the damage, but we know it's going to cost at least this. So if we can get the insurance company to a point where they're going to pay that, then we'll go at it from there. But yeah. It's unfortunate. There have been a lot of those cases. And
will these people come back to London? Like this couple, their house was gone, so the insurance company wrote them, like I said, just wrote them a check. They went to Richmond, Kentucky, and bought a half-built house and finished it themselves. Will people come back to London?
So it's that's a good question. You know, I don't know of anybody other than that case that just up and left other than, I mean, I think I've talked to a few people that maybe said, well, you know what, this really worked out in a sense. God kind of blessed us because we were going to have to list our house and sell anyway. A friend of mine that worked for another contractor down there, he actually picked up and moved to South Carolina. He was getting ready to retire, getting ready to fix his house up to sell it the next week. Like they were getting ready to list it, put a roof on it. And moved down there, and
so he got a check and moved.
I talked to him on that Friday. I saw him at Justin's office and said, "Hey man, I need a roof on my house. Come see me next week." And I said, "Oh yeah, I'll come see you, no problem." And Saturday morning, his house is gone. So his insurance company wrote him a check, and so he moved to South Carolina where he and his wife are going to retire.
Yeah,
and it worked out great for him. But you know. Everybody else that we've talked to, for the most part, nobody's really said, well, I don't ever want to move back here. There are a few people that were, for obvious reasons, traumatized by what happened and said, I just can't live in that house again or live in the same place because I'm too scared. There's a lot of that. But, you know, for the most part, if people got a check then they, most of the people I've talked to, if they could find another house to buy, then they went ahead and bought that with their insurance proceeds and then put the rest in savings and paid off their old mortgage and, you know, went
so
on.
So what's happening with all the sites that are there? I haven't been to London since that. Are there just...
There are the houses that could be saved. Mm-hmm. I don't know of anybody who's fixed them up to really get rid of them. Most people that we've worked with have kind of stayed in their house. Maybe a few people are going to consider moving for other reasons, but not because of that. But the majority of the area where the worst damage was, there are a lot of empty lots now. So the good thing about southeastern Kentucky, especially with a lot of people that have worked in the mines, if we get a disaster like that, things get cleaned up really quick.
Yeah.
You know, we were out here loading debris like it was loading coal trucks.
Yeah.
We had a line going, and what would have took FEMA, you know, 6 months to get done, we had done in what seemed like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was honestly impressive, the scale at how debris got out of there. But, you know, there were houses that really only a foundation left, and all you can do is just take the rest of it on out because you can't build on a on a foundation that's not any good anymore. So
what about your personal house?
So we live about 7 miles from the main impact zone, so I can drive out and across Highway 80 and go a few miles out into the woods, and you can see the devastation path, and it's you know, they're logging it now, so it's even more visible. But I mean, there's a path a mile and a half wide, just trees that are flattened.
Wow.
Craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. But
yeah,
thankfully, you know, we went down in the basement, and I was watching it come across Ryan Hall's weather radar, and you know, I'm like, if it follows north, then it's probably gonna go right over us. If it goes right, who knows where it's going. And it so it kind of stayed on the trajectory and followed Kentucky 192. And thankfully our house was all right, other than, you know, we had some stuff, debris fly into the house, but I don't think it was actually from the tornado. It was just from the high winds.
Yeah.
And I got a piece of siding on the back gable of my house I need to go replace, but you know
anybody does
siding. I don't know anybody that does that. So the builder is always the last one, right?
We always come last. I've got a painter who's going to do me a favor and paint my house, Manuel.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for free, but you know, I've been waiting 4 years.
That's how that goes.
That's how it goes. Yeah. Exactly. Well, the people in London, you know, need help and deserve help, and it's these kind of things just really shake your world. I mean, it's terrible.
For those of us in real estate, it worked out pretty well. I mean, there were a lot of agents, you know, and I know that's been a big debate on the whole commission deal, but you know, there are a lot of great agents down there that were willing to help people, and several of them I know did favors for people that they wouldn't ordinarily have done. But I mean, I don't think I've ever seen inventory as low as it was for the 3 months following it, because everything that was out there that was still habitable pretty much got bought up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's definitely land transactions. If your house is total, you still own the land.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You know, so if you're going to move out of town, you got to sell the lot. So obviously, there's a transaction.
And, if you want to stay, you got to buy another house. You know, so it's, that is. Well, are there. London, what's the population of London?
So the city limits is 9,000 people. And so, but the county itself is about 60,000 people.
Okay.
So Laurel County is comprised of London, and then there are a bunch of smaller communities.
East Bernstadt.
East Bernstadt. Bernstadt.
That's your most favorite.
Yeah.
Most famous.
Yeah, old East Bernstadt. Well, and then you got Corbin, too. Mm-hmm. And so Corbin's a weird deal. It's, it's three counties and then one city. So that not really sure how that works. But London and Corbin fought forever about Exit 29 to see who could annex the property first over the alcohol tax. And I'm still pretty sure that Walmart on Exit 29 is unable to sell anything because they can't decide who's going to get the taxes. So
that's crazy.
It's interesting.
So Corbin has three different counties represent Corbin, Kentucky?
Yeah, so Corbin is Knox, Laurel, and Whitley County. And then Whitley County's county seat is Williamsburg. London is Laurel County's county seat. And then Knox County is Barberville.
Yeah.
And Corbin sits kind of right in the middle of all three.
Interesting.
They do their own thing. I don't know.
Well, I built a house. We built a house, Chris, 30 years ago for a guy that on Tri-County Farm out Russell Cave, and it was in Fayette, Scott, and Woodford. All three counties came together right on that farm, and the name of the farm was Tri-County Farm. And I thought that was odd, but it's even crazier for a city. And how does the city government, how does Corbin, is the mayor, is the courthouse in Laurel County, or how do you deal with that?
That's a good question. So it depends on where you live. So if you live in Laurel County, you got to do all your county business in Laurel, I would assume.
Yeah.
I've never lived down there.
But is there a mayor?
So, yeah, Corbin's got a mayor, and then Corbin's also got an independent school district. So it's got to be, like, the highest taxes of anywhere in Kentucky, because you pay school tax, you pay city tax, and then if you work in one of the counties around it, you also pay the occupational tax. Mm-hmm. So you get taxed three ways for living there. Whereas if you live in London, you know, you'll pay Laurel County occupational tax, you pay London city tax on your property, and then you'll pay a 1% you pay the occupational tax.
Yeah.
London and Laurel County is kind of one and the same. So
yeah.
It's not separate.
Interesting. Yeah, that's I'd never thought about that.
An administrator like me, it's a nightmare.
Doing
work down there.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Yeah, we, like I say, Tri-County Farm, I thought that was unique. And then I've got friends that live in Bristol, Virginia, and Virginia and Bristol, Tennessee. Main Street, one side of Main Street's Virginia and the other side's Tennessee, and state line goes right down the middle of the street.
Yeah.
It's like you're in Virginia over here, I walk across the street, I'm in Tennessee. That's nuts. So UT and UVA signs and flags are everywhere. Everybody's very competitive there. But well, so Jacob, you're in London. Well, let's talk. So we've done several projects together. Our biggest project working together is the Silks Club for Sales Road. If you're listening today, I've got one townhome remaining to sell out there, 1602 Winter Circle. It is a two-story with a finished basement, 3,300 square feet. Actually, I'm going to say 3,500 square feet finished for $995. So you're less than $300 a square foot. You're right at $300 a square foot. And its finishes are fabulous. It backs up to Lexington's newest city park, which is Cardinal Run North. It's got a clubhouse and swimming pool. And we'll talk more about that after the break. But that was a great project for us. It's right at the end. And if you're interested in living out there, it is a 55 and better community. So one person, every household has to be 55 years old or older. And no one under 19 can be a permanent resident. So if you're interested, give me a call. Mike Warner, 859-421-0800. We'll be back after the break, Colin.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner. I've got Jacob Kirby with me. I was just reminded by Colin, who's the producer of The Hound. Please listen to 96.1 Tune In on your radio or on FM, or you can also go to their website, houndfm.com. But tomorrow's Mother's Day, so everyone who's listening out there, make sure you remember to get your mom a card, a gift, or do something special for her. Just give her a call. I wish I could talk to my mom. She's in heaven now, but I'd give anything in the world just to be able to talk to her one more time. So if you're listening, make sure you reach out to your mom tomorrow and wish her a happy Mother's Day. And then a week from today, we've got Houndstock. What's that about, Colin?
Yes, at Gatton Park, May 15th and 16th, the most dog-friendly music festival in the world. Only a $30 ticket with mostly all hound artists. It's also lots of barbecue and food. Go to houndstockfest.com and we'll see you next weekend.
So Bedford's playing?
Yep.
Cool. Who else is playing?
Stahl Vaughn, who's been on this show.
Stahl's going to play.
T.D. Young, Logap, Trayvon King, Sydney Adams, Kate Justice, Eric Bolander, Dead Air Dennis, Corduroy Brown, Lance Rogers. It's going to be popping. B. Taylor with the Lexington Philharmonic String Quartet.
Fantastic. You know, I made Stahl Vaughn famous. I put him on the radio. He wasn't famous until he was on the radio. No, and then Jim Richardson took him too and made him a big star. But Stahl was great on the show. Loved having you. If you're listening, Stahl, thanks for being on the show. So, Jacob, I kind of want to go now to, we were talking about the Silks Club. You're doing that, but you're also a general contractor in your own. And like I said, I don't work well with insurance companies. We had one opportunity where Claire Wheeler, we're working, doing a job for her, remodeling Wheeler's Pharmacy that she owns. And her house right here in Chevy Chase in 40502, tree fell. It was a wind shear, maybe? What was that?
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Tell us about it.
You know, March is always a fun month. You get a lot of wind, and Chevy Chase especially. I mean, it's for some reason over there, the pin oak trees, I mean, there are hundreds of, you know, probably 200-year-old pin oak trees.
Yeah.
You know, as big around as they could possibly, I think they're like 5 feet wide is the one that fell. And, you know, it's like clockwork. Every March it'll rain, and the ground will get soft, and one of those things will blow over.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened that day, but there was that tree. There was one across the street.
It's like four or five houses.
Four or five houses got trees dropped on them.
And these trees don't fall where there's not a house. They fall on the house.
Fall on the house. Yeah. I mean, they're stacked in there. And if you're looking for one, she's getting ready to list the house, actually.
Is she?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Hopefully it sells quick for her, but brand new kitchen.
You did a great job there.
Turned out really nice, but that one was an interesting case. So, as with any claim, you know, they hope that they're going to get by with the bare minimum. So, you know, I think the insurance adjuster came in and looked at it and said it was going to be about $50,000
to
fix that. Yeah. And it ended up a whole lot more money than that.
Yeah.
You know, the cabinets alone were like $38,000 or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to fix everything, ended up being quite a bit more. But we try to address the whole picture.
Yeah.
You know, we probably could have just repaired the roof. But the way it tied in to the main structure, really had to replace the whole roof. So, and they actually had agreed to replace that to begin with, but new roof, three or four new trusses, and then pretty
floor
much
system. I remember a lot of the floor system was damaged.
New floor system. Part of the footing had to be cut out and replaced, a new block. And but
well, Claire, you know, her dad, Buddy Wheeler. I mean, we started business in 1958. Wheeler started in 1958, and the companies grew in Lexington together and been friends forever. So when she told me, she called me and like, can you help me on this? I'm like, Claire, this is not what I do, but I know a guy, you know, and I put her in touch with you. And I know she was extremely proud of the work you did and how you handle it. And, you know, fighting the insurance company and giving her what she wanted. Cause that was her childhood home. Like she'd been there, she'd lived there for a long time, I think. So cool. So what's the future look like for Jacob Kirby? What are you going to do?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So, you know, I'm trying to stay away from politics. I tried that once. I ran for mayor, and, you know, I didn't spend a whole lot of money on the race. The guy that's the mayor now, he did, and American Distress is suing him for about $150,000 unpaid right now, and who knows what else. So probably should have used some of that campaign money to pay his American Express bill.
Yeah.
I think he spent like $300,000 on a race that pays $45,000 a year.
So, I saw that.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get back into politics. I think I'm going to stay away from that for a while until things cool off. But maybe one day. But, you know, I think for now the best thing I can probably do is just keep doing what I'm doing. Because, you know, there are days, especially when I get – difficult claims in and hard stuff, you know, like a tree falling through somebody's house that I know is going to cost three times what the insurance company said that it should. There are those days I just look at it and say, you know what, I wish I could quit. But for whatever reason, I don't seem to have much quit in me. We hang in there and get it done. And at the end of the job, when the customer is very proud of the work we've done mm-hmm. and they're super happy on how we've improved their property while mm-hmm. we were there,
yeah.
it's worth it.
Yeah.
So, you know, for now, I'm going to keep doing that
okay.
and try to expand and maybe get away from the insurance headache if I can.
Yeah.
You know, we're always bidding new commercial roof jobs. Mm-hmm. So trying to expand in that space and kind of mm-hmm. stay doing more of that. But, you know, if somebody calls me and says, hey, Jacob, I've had a tree on my house.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to turn it down.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So we're a Warner Builders is Chris, myself, and my other two sons, his brothers, Tommy and Blake. Do you have employees or do you subcontract everything?
Yeah. So it's almost impossible to be in the roofing business in any market without mm-hmm. having subcontractors. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, workers' compensation insurance rates are just through the roof unless you're running a sub crew. So mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how my guys manage that. They've got a workers' comp policy.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to get a workers' comp policy that covered 20 employees that I would mm-hmm. need, I mean, it would just be outrageous. So,
yeah.
So we subcontract to them, and then mm-hmm. they deal with their insurance on their own and provide a certificate and pay for it. And
yeah.
We pay them a set rate. So, you know, whatever we work out as a deal, mm-hmm. then that's all we have to pay. And I don't have to worry about all that.
Yeah.
I've got one project manager that works for me full time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got, I mean, just an army of various subcontractors. So,
yeah.
You know, the roofing crews that we use, they pretty much do our work exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Same with our gutter crews and our siding crews. You know, they work for a lot of different builders, but mm-hmm. Do a lot of work for us too. So,
yeah.
We're set up very much the same.
Yeah.
You know, we hire experts in different fields and people at the highest level of the different trades, and they all have their own insurances and all that kind of stuff. And
yep.
we have found that formula to work very well for us as well.
Yeah.
There's a time when we had, you know, 20 years ago, we had 20 employees yeah. plus.
Yeah.
A lot of them were administrative, so the workers' comp hit on that's low. But, you know, just doing the math in my head, if we had 20 carpenters on staff right now, that workers'
yeah.
comp would be pretty high.
And you yeah. were worried about it from a clerical standpoint. To me, it was always – I hated the idea of me trying to bid a big job and them sitting there in a chair going, what do you want me to do, boss? What do you want me to do today, boss? I'm like, I don't know, go grab a broom, anything, just go do something
right,
because
right.
I like just being able to hire somebody to do a job yeah. and not have to worry about when there's not a job to do.
Yeah.
You know, what
well,
do you
that's
do
the other them? Nice thing too, right? Like when you don't have a roof scheduled or you don't have a siding mm-hmm. job scheduled, you know, you don't have to worry about it. You say, hey, I need you yeah. to show up and do this roof this day.
Yeah.
They'll come. They'll bring the guys. And they'll get it done. And if mm-hmm. you're not using them the next day, it's all right. Mm-hmm. They've got another job they can go do.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Colin, a little bit of, you know, sometimes we wonder who listens to this show. And I get calls. I get some really interesting calls about this show. I've told you the best one was – one woman called me up and she said, I just want whatever you're selling. I'm like, okay, good. Well, she's like, I love listening to your show. Whatever you're selling, I'm buying, I'm in. But she didn't have a house. No, she didn't have a house to buy or anything. She just wanted to compliment the show. But Jacob called me up and he goes, I'm out here at Keeneland at the Hill with the BIA. And between you, Chris, and having Tom Johnson and other people on this show, he goes, everyone out here is talking about your radio show. So I'm like, cool. Some people are actually talking about our radio show. He said, I want to be on it. So
here we are.
So 96.1 Saturday morning, 7 to 8 p.m. or 7 to 8 a.m. And then as a podcast, the easiest way to find you guys is HoundFM.com. You can go to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass and see all of our guests, past guests. We've had some great ones on here, including Andy Barr and you know, just Lee Greer. We've had some great guests on here. One of my favorites just is the late, great Tony Mills. I've listened to that podcast just the other day again just to hear his voice. I mean, he's such a personality, but we miss him. But Jacob, so – you're on the show because you asked to be on here because you said everybody was talking about the show. We're glad to know that's going on. But tell me a little bit about
it. So I was at Keeneland at the tailgate with Builders Exchange. And, man, Brandy over there, she's just great at connecting people. And if you're not a Builders Exchange member and you want to be doing commercial work, then, you know, that's something you need to join because they'll connect you with a bunch of other people. I don't know if you're ever familiar with, like, Blue Book, but you know, Blue Book used to be a smaller deal, and it was all Kentucky contractors, so you, I guess they probably mailed it to you originally
back in the day.
I've never known the mailed version. I knew the online version where you go on Blue Book and, you know, you say, all right, I need a flooring contractor. Well, here's 50 of them. And you pay to be on there, and for whatever reason, if you're in the Blue Book, people trusted you. And then they sold to Dodge Plan Room, and so that's become a big thing. But Builders Exchange is still a smaller smaller exchange network like Blue Book used to be. And I guess, you know, I was talking with my grandfather about it several years ago before he passed. And he said, well, actually, back in the day, it was a plan room. You went there in Lexington. You didn't print the plans off because we didn't email anything. He was he actually owned a company called London Church Furniture. His dad started it. And they put pews and lecterns and all kinds of furniture in churches all over the place. But he said, you went to the plan room. You looked at the plans there. And that was wild to me because my entire time in construction – if you don't email it to me, I'm not going to see it.
Like
a printed plan almost is foreign. I like looking at it on my iPad. But anyway, the exchange, you know, they're really good at connecting people. If you need a flooring contractor or a roofing contractor, whoever, you can get on the Builders Exchange. And if you're looking at a job, 100 other people are looking at it too, and you can see their name and phone number and call them up and get a bid on it.
Interesting. I didn't know. But, did you know about that, Chris?
No, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
But great thing to be a part of. But Daryl Virts over
Daryl's been on the show.
He was I guess he's with America Flooring or something like that.
America Floor Source.
He and I got to talking at the tailgate. He said, you know, I guess we were I don't know how we got on the subject of it, but
he was on last week.
We were talking about him coming on the podcast, and so I'm like, man, everybody here is just talking about this podcast. So, you know, Daryl's going to be on it. I got to be on it too, right? So,
right.
Anyway,
that's cool. That's cool. I'm glad people are talking. We've you know, promoted. I've had so much fun doing this. We've been doing it now for 2 years, and I've had so much fun and met so many people along the way. And really, it's always been, Chris, about promoting the other person's business. We've never tried to hog the stage up here, but it's a great opportunity for us to meet people, get to know people, and sell ourselves.
People have been so gracious and, you know, lent a hand out to us and offered us opportunities, things, fun things to do, and just, it's just been a fun ride.
It's a lot of fun. Well, Jacob, this is my time to kind of take over. I just got the final 2 minutes, and again, if you're buying or selling in Central Kentucky, my wife and I are a concierge real estate company. It's just the two of us. We like to work with special people and special projects, and we will work with you to make sure that our commission meets your goals. If you're building, doing an addition, remodel, residential, commercial, or equine, keep us in mind as well. Chris and I at Warner Builders, 859-421-0800. We had a great time out at the three-day event 2 weekends ago and met some people out there, and that's going to pay off. I've got a couple of calls, Chris, on some indoor arenas in Louisville that we're going to be looking at, which will be great. And those kind of things are wonderful. And like I said, we want to always support the Hound and what they're doing here, and Colin Michael and his group. The window company, CommonwealthWindow.com. Make sure it's singular, CommonwealthWindow.com. If you need replacement windows or new windows, we're doing that as well. And really looking forward to all these new things that we're doing. Jacob, we're so glad to have you on the show. It's been fun. The podcast, like I say, catch it on wherever you listen to your podcast, but HoundFM.com is your best source to get it. And if you're not listening to the Hound FM, put it on your FM dial 96.1 or on your streaming device. The best music ever. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Don't forget that. And next week we'll come down to the Gatton Park to listen to music. Where do they buy tickets for that?
Houndstockfest.com or just go to houndfm.com.
Okay, there you have it. So next week I have a great guest as well, Miss Emily Riding. She is an international basket weaver. And she wove a basket mantle, fireplace mantle for us that has gone viral. It is an absolute incredible piece of art. We're not going to build a fire in a fireplace, I can tell you that, but it's beautiful. And she does work literally all across the globe. And she lives in Kennewick, and so we like to support local people. Emily will be on here next week. What do you got, Chris?
I got nothing, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you were leaning in.
Jacob's here and Colin's here, and we're all here together, brother.
All right. Well, check us out, houndfm.com, and we're signing off.
Listen to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, presented by The Hound, 96.1 FM, Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., followed by the Horse Racing Radio Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.